where we're finishing up our little mini-series called The Recipe. And I should have had you some pumpkin cookies or, you know, something up here today, but just want to finish strong with His Word this morning. As I said, it's just a little Thanksgiving series. We're taking just a passage in Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church there in Thessalonica, and as I said at the very beginning, there's a lot of persecution going on at this time. There's a lot of confusion in the life of the believers. They just don't know what to do, and Paul wanted to encourage them, and so he wrote them this letter. And the overwhelming theme of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians is that while they were going to have to live in their current home, I mean, this is where they were at, they could have a hope for a future home. They had, in fact, a homecoming to look forward to, just like you and I do if we're followers of Christ. And so I think, you know, why would Paul, you know, write this letter? And the answer is really simple. He didn't want them to give up. He didn't want them to wave the white flag, and he didn't want them to throw in the towel. And I think these words ring into our hearts in the day and age in which we live. With everything that's going on around our lives and in our lives, you know, God's Word is saying, hey, hang in there, don't give up, hold on. And so these words are just as powerful to us this morning as they were back in Paul's day to the church there in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, just these three ingredients that Paul gives us that is the recipe for really knowing how to live out our faith, really knowing how to fulfill God's will in our lives. It really is God's will. And he says this, and over the last few weeks we've kind of walked through this, so I encourage you to listen to all three of these conversations over the last few weeks. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I just think about that, and I think, you know, life is constantly changing, and it's changing so fast, it's hard to get a grip on things. And sometimes it feels like, you know, it's getting out of control. You ever been there? You know, life gets overwhelming, and, you know, it just feels like, you know, you can't hold on. But we need to hold on as we move into our future, and we need to remember these three things. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, to hold on to those ingredients. So I want to, you know, ask you this morning, how many of you are good at forgetting things? Yeah? Yeah, we need to bring a few more young people in here, because evidently we all old and we forget things in here. Right, but all of us forget things, right? How many of you, especially dudes, how many of you have gone up to the refrigerator and you open the door and you forget why you came to the refrigerator? What am I here for? Right? And I've shared with you my Publix adventures, right? I go there, you know, and I'll have a list, you know, and check, check, check. You know, you got your little notes thing. You actually put a check mark there as you go down. And I still forget things. You know, Kim will say, did you get the one thing, right? The two things, the three things, the four things on the list of five, and I forgot them. Well, this morning, as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, I want to say to you, don't forget to say thanks. In the midst of all the things that you're going to be doing this week, take time to remember, you know, if it's around the meal on Thursday or, you know, whatever, just stop to remember and say thanks. And our God knew. He knew how important it was to remember and to say thanks. I mean, if you think about it, you read through Scripture, in the Old Testament, the Israelites there, when they would, you know, when God would show up in a huge way, they would do what? They would build an altar, right? To remember how God had been present in their lives. Or you get Noah after the flood, right? And he puts a rainbow across the sky so they can remember that he would never destroy the earth by this means ever again. You think about Passover, where the death angel passed over the Israelites and saved them. And they remembered that for, you know, all the way up to this day, just thousands of years. And then Jesus at communion, right? There at the Last Supper. He didn't want us to forget, so he said, as often as you come together, right, as often as you receive this bread and drink of this cup, remember and say thanks because he knew we were forgetful. Right? But sometimes we don't forget to say thanks. We just don't forget to say thanks. Sometimes it's hard to say thanks. Would you agree? Stuff going on in your life, maybe you didn't get the job, or your savings got wiped out, or there's this unanswered prayer that's going on in your life and your relationships, the loss of a loved one, or a relationship that's broken, that breaks up. And the last thing that you want to do is to give thanks. You just don't feel like saying thanks. But look again at what Paul says there in verse 18. He says to give thanks. And that word thanks in the Greek is eucharisteo. And it's where we get our word Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper, coming and remembering what God did for us through the sacrificial gift of Jesus Christ. It's got the word charis in the middle there. It's the word grace. And it's just, this being thankful for the grace that has been bestowed on us because of what Jesus has done. He says, give thanks in all. He says, thank goodness he says in instead of for, right? He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. People are always asking Monty, what is God's will for your life? What is God's will for me? And here it is, right here. It's very plain. God's will for you is in every circumstance, give thanks. In the painful one, give thanks. In the disappointing circumstances, give thanks. In the circumstances that bring us joy, give thanks. God's will for each one of us is to have an attitude of gratitude. He says, to say thanks. And in fact, God wants you to be thankful when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, and until you do feel like it. So we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians. It's a letter that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. It's there in the middle of the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So in right in there. We're just going to read this passage and learn why we should be thankful. And he starts right out of the gate. In verse 3, he says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." Listen. You are blessed. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Everything we need. Now, a lot of times we think of blessings as material blessings, right? And you would say, "Monty, are you going to tell me that I can come to Jesus and I'm going to look great and I'm going to be in shape, right? And I'm going to make a lot of money and you're going to keep my loved ones alive and take care of my children and allow the Gators to beat FSU this Black Friday?" Right. I get you. How many of you know that's not going to happen? I'm with you. It's not. We confirmed that this weekend. Listen, sometimes God blesses us with material blessings, but most of God's blessings are spiritual blessings. And we will miss them. We will miss them if we're not careful. And those are the types of things that will help us say thanks when it's hard to say thanks. When you're distracted, when you're feeling empty, when you're discouraged, when you're just overwhelmed with the stuff of life. I think, I don't know where you are in those emotions right now, but I think it's in that place when it's where we need to just see things from His perspective. I've shared this illustration with you before, but Several years ago, I was getting on an airplane, and it was storming outside. It was rainy, and I'm sitting there in my seat by the window. I love the window seat, and I look out, and it's flooding outside, and I see my suitcase coming up the ramp. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's going to be soaked. It's got leaks. It's, you know. And we get all boarded up, and, you know, the pilot says, you know, put on your seatbelt, you know, strap it down pretty hard because, you know, we're going to experience a little turbulence, little bumps. You know, as we take off, but hopefully we'll get above that, you know. And so, sure enough, you take off, right, and there's some bumps, and you're holding on to the handle, right, and this is, you know, and it's, you know, it's raining all around. You can see lightning flashing, but you know, go from 5,000, 10,000, 20, and all of a sudden, at 30,000 feet, poof, you break through the clouds, right? And sometimes the sun is even shining up there, and it's smooth, and you can look down, and you can see all the storms and all the chaos going on below you. The lightning is flashing below you, but you're above it. And I think sometimes we need to have that view above the clouds to begin to understand that, yeah, there's all kind of circumstances going on around us, but God is with us. And we can have a different perspective, and we can begin to be thankful in all circumstances. So I just real quickly want to walk down this passage in Ephesians and talk about how can I be thankful. Monty, how can we be thankful in all circumstances? And so let me give you four ways that come out of this passage. The first one is be thankful because of His love. Look at verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 4. It says, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Remember this week to be thankful because of His love, because He has chosen you, because He chose to adopt you and me. Have you ever been excited about being chosen? You know, maybe it's on a sports team or a job or a project. Again, this is one of my favorite illustrations, but you remember in middle school when the teacher needed to take a message or get a message down to the principal's office, and she would just kind of, you know, say, hey, I got to get this message down. Anybody want to go? You know, and my hand would go straight up, oh, pick me, right, pick me. And what would she do, or he do? She, you know, she wouldn't pick the one that made all A's. She wouldn't pick the best, but every once in a while she said, okay, I'll pick you. Monty, will you take? Right? And you walk up there, and she fills out this little piece of paper, puts your name on it, go into the office, right, you know, and a hall pass. And you're feeling like, yes, I am the man. And you walk out of that class and you have freedom, right? And you're walking down and you look at your loser buddies in their classrooms. You're going, hall pass, buddy. Hall pass. And you just kind of, you know, you're a loser sitting there. I'm on mission, right? I've been chosen. You know, and then that teacher comes up down the hall, usually a coach, and goes, hey, Davis, what's going on? Where you get back in class? Hall pass, baby. Back off. I've been chosen. You know, I'm on a special mission. Hall pass. And I just think about that, right? The good news is, for you as a follower of Christ, if your friends or someone in your family say, you know, how do you live out your life? How do you live with such freedom in your life? Such, you know, you got, it seems like you got such purpose. And you can just say, hall pass. I've been chosen. I'm on mission. I've been appointed to do this, to live out God's will in my life, to be on mission for Him. And you know, when you kind of internalize that, when you begin to let it go from just intellectual knowledge to this true heart belief, everything changes. And you can see this happen in Apostle Paul's life. God has chosen us, you know, when he writes, God has chosen us to be adopted. Now, I don't know what it means to be physically adopted, but some of you do. You know, to have somebody that didn't have to choose you. One way that I've come to understand that feeling is when I married Kim, right? And her daddy gave her away and said, you know, who gives this woman to be married to this man? He said, her mother and I. They gave me, you know, and I got adopted into their family. I was a part of them. You know, and I could begin to understand that a little bit better. And you know, I think about when my boys getting married, right? I had two sons. Now I got two daughters all of a sudden. Like, yeah, adopted them into our family. When they're excited, I'm excited. When they heard, I heard. I even feel that way a little bit about your students and your children. That God has blessed Kim and I to be in this place, to come alongside of you. And I just kind of feel like they're my adopted kids, right? And when they're struggling, I want to come alongside. I want to struggle with them and help them understand how to struggle well in this life and hold on to Jesus. But it's not a perfect image or picture of adoption. It makes me trust Him more, right? When I understand that He's adopted me because, you know, whatever I go through, He knows. He feels, He cares. That's the image of adoption. But again, it's not perfect. My sons, and you know this, I've shared this with you, both of my sons have adopted children. They've adopted Ayla Grace and Amelia May. And these girls had nothing, no parents, no home, no future. And when they adopted them, it changed everything for them. Everything. They are loved. They are provided for. They now have a future. And that's a beautiful picture of what happens, but you know, because of our adoption by God, that we are adopted, right? We are chosen and adopted into His family. We have nothing. Now we are blessed with everything He has because we are in His family. And that's a better picture of adoption. But it's still even an imperfect one when it's compared to our adoption by God, because Ayla and Amelia are deserving. They deserve something good. But when God adopts us, it's more like this. I mean, just picture a career criminal here in Lakeland. The guy has done everything, three strikes, and it's over for him. He comes before the judge, and the judge hears his case, and he's guilty, and he pronounces him guilty. Then he throws the book at him, right? He gives him the full sentence under the law. Is it unjust? No. It's fair. And then after pronouncing the judgment, the judge takes off his robe. He comes around to the front of the bench. He stands there with the accused and he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay your penalty. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to pay it. Not only am I going to pay it, but I'm going to let you live in my home. And not only are you going to live in my home, but I'm going to go through the formal process of adoption so that you have rights to everything that I have. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love, His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what God did for me. And that's what God did for you. And you might say, well, Monty, I'm not that bad. I mean, I'm not a criminal, right? I'm not. Is that right? I mean, Isaiah says your righteousness, your attempts to be good in God's eyes are like filthy rags. Listen, God's not impressed with your righteousness, yet He chose you, adopted you. And I don't care what I'm going through, I can be thankful because I am in Christ. I'm a part of God's family. Another reason you can be thankful as we step into this week is because of His plan. He's planned in advance for me and you. Look at verse 9. It says, God has now revealed us to this His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. You know, these words, I think, are part of a prayer of thanksgiving by Paul, a statement of fact and reality. And here's what he's saying. You know me, I was persecuting Christians on the wrong side of the story. And then God, in His grace, apprehended me and everything changed. He pursued me. And Paul is saying, now I realize that God has prepared in advance for this new story. All my background, my gifts, my experiences were part of God's plan to get me to this point. Later on in Ephesians 2:10, he says, for we are God's handiwork, His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. This is God's plan that He has been preparing in advance. I think about my experiences, the ones that I have had in my life, all the experiences I believe were preparation for such a time as this, for this season of the rock. That's what Paul is saying. You know, I had all that preparation because God had a plan for me. You need to know that God planned in advance for you, and that promise, that understanding should give you hope. You are right where you are right now in the will of God. So I can be thankful because of His love. He's adopted me, and I can be thankful because of His plan. He has a plan, and He has planned in advance for me. And I can be thankful, third, for His promises. Look at verse 13. It says, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. I mean, He has guaranteed you and me just this inheritance for us. And then if you're in Christ, heaven is guaranteed to you. We're going to heaven. We have a future place. You say, but you know, it's not just about offering people a better now, but it's about focusing them on a better place. I think we believe this earth is going to eventually work out for us, right? And don't get me wrong, God, sometimes God does intervene, but we have it so good here in America. We get caught up in these earth expectations. Listen, others around us, the world's not that good. They see their hopelessness. I always at Thanksgiving think about my Grandma Davis. The whole family would go out there at Thanksgiving and join out there. The whole Davis clan would join there at Grandma's house and enjoy a Thanksgiving meal and play football and just enjoy being with family, with each other. And then usually after that, the cousins, the boy cousins, we would spend the night and spend the weekend with Grandma. And I just miss her simple love. She called us her grandboys. And we would spend those nights with her during the holidays. And here's how cool she was. She would make us French fries for breakfast. Come on now. Yeah. And then we would go to church with her on Sundays, and sometimes we'd have to stay after church because they'd be a singing. Anybody ever been to a singing? Come on now, y'all missing out. You haven't ever been to a singing. And here's what I noticed as a young guy. I would notice that they would sing about heaven. looking forward to the blessed hope, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoice. Or they would sing, soon and very soon, going to see. You don't help me, bro, okay? Yeah, we're going to see the King, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see. No more crying there. We're going to see the King. No more, no more dying there, right? They really didn't have anything, right? But they were not thinking of a better now. They were thinking of a better place. John 14, 1 and 2 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Listen, heaven is real. Heaven is relational. I mean, this is big for me. It's one reason I'm so excited about going there. I think about those in my family who are already there, and I can't wait to be with them again. I think of Kim's dad, right? And I miss him so. He was always taking care of me, taking care of his princess's man. He thought I was so needy. My dad, right? My hero. He led me to the Lord. He was an uncommon man and always pointing me to the most uncommon of men, Jesus Christ. My mom. I'm a mother. You know, I'm a mama's boy. Right? I mean, I held onto her skirt as long as, you know, you ever hid under your mama's skirt? I was that mama's boy when I was, even when I was 16, I'd grab her. And then my oldest son, Hunter, and his wife, Steph. And I think of their twins that went ahead of us, Emery and Everly. Listen, this is a mist. And it seems like a long time, and it hurts so bad. But every day is a day closer to seeing them again. There's a place. There's a place called heaven. And I can't wait. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 1:13 again says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. He promised the Holy Spirit. When did your adoption begin? When you heard the word of truth. And you believed. And He sealed you with His Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, doesn't everybody get to go to heaven? Doesn't everybody get the inheritance? No. That would be like someone coming up to you after a rich uncle died and saying, I want to be part of his inheritance. And you would say, are you a part of the family? Well, no. Well, I'm sorry. That's how it works. That's not how it works. You and I can be thankful because of His love. He has adopted me. We can be thankful because of His plan. He has planned in advance for us to do good works. We can be thankful because of His promise. If you are in Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, you are guaranteed an inheritance. And finally, I can be thankful because of His power. Look at verse 15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you would understand, and here it is, the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ, His Holy Spirit lives in you, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you now. And it gives you the power and the courage to live out His will for your life. And you can be thankful for that. No matter what you go through, you know that He is in you and His power will sustain you. So let me give you three action steps as we close for this Thanksgiving week and beyond. First, make thankfulness an attitude. Listen, thankfulness is an attitude. And some of you need to realize that your circumstances may never change. And some of your pain may never go away, but your attitude can change. Your circumstances may never change, but your attitude can change. Thankfulness is an attitude, and it starts in the morning, every day. It starts in the morning when you wake up and say, "Good morning, God. I am thankful for You," and you begin your list. Psalms 92:2 says, "Every morning tell Him, 'Thank You for Your kindness,' and every evening rejoiced in all of His faithfulness." A thankful attitude will begin to rise above the circumstances. And you can begin to get a view above the clouds. I mean, you know I love to tell stories of little children. And I love the attitude of this little boy, you know, that loved to play baseball. And he had his baseball bat, and he had his baseball, and he would throw the baseball up, and he would swing, and he'd throw it up, and he'd miss it, and he says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Pick up his ball, and he'd throw it up again, and strike two. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he'd pick up his ball, and he'd throw it up again, strike three. And he'd pick up his ball, and he said, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Right? We're going to strike out in some areas of our lives. And our circumstances may never change, but our attitudes can. Second, make an inventory of why you are thankful. James 5:13 says, "And those who have reason to be thankful should continually be singing praises to the Lord." Listen, we have reason to be thankful. I mean, this is really what thank therapy is really all about, right? You make an inventory of the reason that you're thankful. And when you do that, it changes your perspective. It moves you from grumbling and complaining where God doesn't want us to be to that thankful, grateful, where it is God's will for us to be. Make a list. Do it daily. Express your thankfulness. Let people know. And then finally, make God the source of your thankfulness. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe." Listen, people can take your home away. They can take away your job. They can take away your savings account, but they can't take away your relationship with God. He is the source of our thankfulness. He's called us to His purpose to share the good news. Listen, we were made for 2022. We were made for such a time as this. Made for this hour. And He's given us His power to live out His plan and His purpose to fulfill His will in our life. It's the view above the clouds. So this Thanksgiving week and beyond, remember, let's be thankful. To be thankful for His love. To be thankful for His plan. To be thankful for His promise. To be thankful for His power that lives in you and gives you the courage and the ability to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the recipe. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Pray with me, please. God, we are so thankful. And I pray that each person here in this room and listening, Father, would really begin to understand that You are the source of our thankfulness. That God, the ability to rejoice always and to pray continually and to give thanks in all circumstances, God, it begins in a forever relationship with You. So, Father, I pray through Your Holy Spirit's power that You will begin to draw people. Father, if they're in here this morning or if they're listening online or somewhere throughout the week, Father, that You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, would draw them into a forever relationship with You, Father, and they would get to a point in their lives where they would surrender to You and confess with their mouth that they want You, God, to be their Lord and Savior. And so right now, right here, You can surrender right where you are. You can begin to understand that living in your own strength is not working out, and God wants to be and created you to be in relationship with Him. And He's saying to you, would you just receive my grace and my mercy, my forgiveness? Would you allow me to come in and be your Lord and Savior? So right where you are, you can say, God, come in. Forgive me. God, help me to turn away from the things that I know aren't pleasing to You and to really turn directly to You, God, and begin to be dependent upon You, God, and to receive that mercy and grace and forgiveness, to come into a personal forever relationship with You because of what Jesus did on the cross and through His burial and resurrection. Then I can be a part of the family of God, adopted, chosen, on mission for You. God, help us as Your people to be thankful that You have called us, that You have prepared in advance good works for us to do. That God, as we journey on this place called earth, that we're just passing through, but as we go, Father, we are. Let us have this heart that wants to love and lead and grow other people so that they come along with us. And we all get to enjoy this place called heaven, this real relational place that's in the presence of You forever. God, do Your work in our lives. May we be a people who rejoice always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. May we be a people that fulfill Your will in our lives to such a point that people will see us and they will know us something different, and we'll pull out our little hall pass, God, and we'll say, hey, I'm chosen. I'm adopted. I'm on mission, fulfilling His purpose. He loves me. He changed me. I walk in relationship with Him every day, and you can too. God, help us to be that kind of people. So thankful for what You have done, the spiritual blessings that You have given us, that we walk out of these doors as people with an attitude of gratitude that are so thankful to the point that, God, it makes us live our lives differently. And You give us opportunity, even today, to share why we're different, to share where that thankfulness comes from, to share You, God. Give us opportunity this week to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.